Welcome to Straight Talk with Carlissa Thorne. And I have the honor today to interview Carol Schiavelli. And what I'm really excited about is that she is an author and she does things from a sense of humor. Her book is called Poor Widow Me. And so we're going to be talking about her book, how she started to get involved in what she's doing. In other words, what was the inspiration behind her book? And also we're going to be talking about the Secrets of the Keys movie that we're both in. So welcome, Carol.
Welcome. Thank you. It's great to be here. I love your interviews because you really listen.
Thank you.
I guess that's a good trait for an interviewer, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So the question I have to ask first is, did I say your name properly?
Schiavelli, yes. And you got the Carol right, too. You got everything right.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, I'm glad I got the Carol right. Otherwise, I'd be in big trouble.
A little bit, yeah.
I always like to ask several questions. So one of them, because I always get really fun, unique stories from this, is A, what was the inspiration behind writing your book? However, we're going to start with, what was the inspiration behind the title of your book? I always get great stories when I ask them, how did you come up with that title?
Oh, the title, The Poor Widow Me. I know, everyone says it's a terrific title. It all started with a Carol Burnett episode. Many years ago, I was addicted, as most people were, to Carol Burnett. One of her things she had as the stomach turns. And I was a kid, I was going to school, and it was an episode where she was in the Wild West, and she's looking into the camera. She said, well, everyone except for me is a widow. Well, there's the Widow Johnson, there's the Widow O'Nally, and there's the Widow Smith. And then you hear a big bang. You see where the camera goes to where she's looking, and you see there's a gunfight, and her husband falls down dead. And then she looks back into the camera, and then she says, and there's Widow Me. And I remember going to school the next day and looking into the mirror, brushing my teeth, looking into the mirror and saying, widow me. And so I said, wow, when I write this, widow me. But my friend, Michelle, who's a ventriloquist, she's a comedian, she said, throw a poor in front of it because it doesn't translate unless you have poor widow me. And, you know, it's interesting, Carly, at first it felt kind of disrespectful. It kind of did. It didn't feel right, but everybody loved the title. That I said, oh, okay, I guess it's okay. But that's how I got the title.
Well, it's very interesting. I know certain subjects are sensitive subjects. I'm in the middle of writing a book on my husband committed suicide, and when I was working around my title, I was like, you know, whenever we talk about widowhood or suicide or death, nobody wants to talk about it. And it's really sad because it is a part of life, and I think that the more we talked about and destigmatized it, we would start to feel, I guess, less attached to the people that have moved on. We can bring more joy to them having moved on, remembering the wonderful moments. And I'm not saying nobody don't grieve. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think the sooner we start having these conversations and actually including children in these conversations, we can start to be a lot more at peace with the whole evolution of our lives. So I actually do like your title. And I don't think it comes from a place of victimhood. I think it's just, like, you know, part of you is humorous. You have a, you know, caricature of you on the cover, so I think people will understand that.
Right.
So I'm actually thrilled that you actually did a book about being a widow. I think it's a very important topic, no different than any other deaths that I think people need to talk about. So well, the other thing I'd love to know is, because you told me the title story, and I knew there'd be a fun title story, what was your inspiration behind writing the book?
I always want to write a book. I'm a writer before my husband died. He died 9 years ago, but I was a writer for my whole life, and I'm, you know, not that young anymore. And I just never did it. I wrote a lot of short pieces. I wrote for comedians. I wrote a lot of personal essays. And it's kind of ironic to me that the book that I finally did write is about this subject. It's mind-boggling to me in that way. But my friend, who was a widow for many years before that, said, write it down. Just write it all down because you want to remember how you're feeling. So I did it in a blog. And then the blog became a book because I thought, people are going to miss that one. That was a good one. That was a good one. So this way, they're all condensed under one book.
And see, I love what you just said. I think a lot of people think writing a book is so difficult. And what you did is how a lot of people, let me backpedal a little bit here. Most people don't realize how much content they have. If you have a blog or if you have a website, usually people have a blog. And I don't think people realize that half the time they have a book. They don't even know they have a book. If they go back through all their blogs, it's amazing if you actually hand it to an editor, and go, here are all my blogs. Do you think there's a story in here? Or what do I need to add to create the story? I think everybody would have a book.
You're so right. You're so right. That's exactly what I did. I took that first year and a half, and I went through it. I weeded out what I felt was not relevant to the general public. They don't want to hear too much personal, although it is personal. But you're right. The content is there, and it was miraculous. But I kind of cheated because I didn't write a chapter book. I wrote moments. There are 85 moments because I say that's how we remember our lives, but it was easier to write. I just cleaned up the blogs and published those.
Well, I got news for you. And as you know, I do a lot of marketing and social media as well. And with our attention spans, cell phones, beepers, internet, mail, blah, blah, blah. Most people don't have the time to read books anymore. And I just partnered with someone who does the social media quotes we're doing also for the movie. And it's 140 quotes that are 140 characters, including the person's Twitter handle. And what we have found is that people love those. We take people's content, whether it be their blogs, whatever, and we actually extract 140 aha moments. Because the aha moments, I think to me personally, are more impactful than me reading a whole book. Now, obviously, it depends. If you're a mystery buff or horror buff, your self-development, crazy person or a junkie, that's a little bit different in a non, I mean, I love to read non-fiction. I don't like to read fiction. I love to read non-fiction. However, I love to read books that are giving me aha bulletins or aha moments because to me, I'm going to remember those. So I think, I don't think what you did was cheating at all, actually. I think what you do is brilliant. And I think if more people started doing these, you can use these as a pitch for your bigger book, right? And, or you can just write lots of little books. And a lot of people now are doing books. I love doggies.
I'm sorry.
I'll have to come over and say hello in a little bit. Okay. However, I think if more people start doing more of these little books, they'd see that more people would read them. And then they might be willing to read the bigger book. However, people's times are so limited. I find that a lot of people, if I move my camera, I have stacks and stacks of books that authors send me. And then I have to interview them. And a lot of times, I never interview someone without having read whatever they sent me.
Right.
But a lot of times I may not be able to read the entire 300 pages. It may be that I'm speed reading through it, and thankfully I can speed read. However, then if I really like the book, I'll go back and read it. So I love what you did, actually.
Oh, okay. So I'm not lazy.
You're not lazy at all.
You called me something before. Can you do it again? I just want to hear it. You actually said, I'm brilliant. I heard you say that. Can you say it one more time? Because maybe no one heard that.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little more. So these are four words I say to all my clients and encourage everyone to put on the mirror and say three times each to each other. You are loved. You are appreciated. You are beautiful. You are worthy. And you are brilliant.
Wow. Wow. I think brilliant should come first.
But anyways, yeah. So
no, loved is good. Loved is much better. Loved is much better. Of course. Yes, I'm just kidding. Totally. Yeah.
So since this is your book, and I haven't had the honor of reading this yet because just the way the whole thing's coming together for me interviewing everybody. I would love for you to give some aha moments. So actually tell us or share with us some of those 88 ahas.
Okay. Well, let me do one that is a fan favorite, and this will be something that, okay, well, here goes. It was a few months after my husband died, and my nephew Chuck, who was very close to my husband, was sitting in my kitchen, and he was standing over my husband's chair, and he started saying, oh, you know, I remember when Uncle Jimmy would sit right here, and I couldn't pass his chair without him wanting me to give him a massage. I didn't always want to, but he was so demanding. But now, if I could do it just one more time, and I said, you know, I know how you feel, Chuck. I feel the same way about the blowjobs. Whoa, you didn't see that coming, huh?
Oh, thank God my show doesn't have a rating.
No rating. Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say BJ, but it wouldn't have really translated. Well, I guess it would have translated, but.
I love the fact that, he's like, he's so demanding, you know, and then it was kind of like, and I wish I had that extra moment.
Exactly.
I think we so forget that someone may be irritating us or have little habits that we may not enjoy. And right. then once someone's gone, it's like, oh, God, I wish they were teasing your aunt. I wish they were annoying me right now, you know? It's
right,
like,
but probably for 2 days. And then it would get annoying all over again. It's like exactly. anything else. It's like, oh, wait, that really was annoying. If you come back, could you come back, like, a little bit different? Like, all the checklists of things that I really didn't like so much, you could be different? Because you'll appreciate being alive again, so maybe you'll be trying harder, right? Think of it that way, from their point of view. Maybe.
Exactly. And I think the other thing we all need to remember is that we're mirrors for each other. A lot of times those annoyances or those little habits of annoyance are actually the universe, if you will, saying you need to learn patience, you need to learn compassion, you need to learn whatever it is. I think we all trigger each other, and I think it's that opportunity to learn, and I call it learning, playing, and growing. So I think it's that beautiful choice to react or respond. So I can react and get all pissy about it and, you know, be bitchy about it, or I can go, you know, actually there's some characteristics in this, whatever, that are actually kind of amusing or whatever it is. I just think we need to look at things a little bit differently.
That's great to look at that way. You have a terrific sense of what, you know what I used to do with my husband? I hadn't thought about this in a long time. When he was doing something that was kind of annoying, and I won't tell you what those things were because it doesn't matter, but I would picture him as kind of just a spiritual being who's struggling and not really able to help himself. If he could do differently, he would. But he's just incapable at this moment. And just like I have certain things that I need to work on. I don't know if he looked at me that way, though.
Wait
I never
a minute.
Told him.
That's pivotal right there. And I want all the audience to hear. Okay, first of all, we're all human. And we all have had a past, which a lot of people like to sweep under the carpet. However, right. if we deal with our past and choose to learn from it, we can grow. So I love what you said, because we don't realize that. A lot of times people are coming from their stuff. They're coming from their parents' stuff. They're coming from the generations before stuff. It could be that they grew up with verbal, sexual, physical, whatever, emotional abuse. It could be, you know, all sorts of baggage that we carry. And so a lot of times mm-hmm. we're just doing what we know. And it isn't until, for me anyway, like one of the things I don't like to say is I don't like to say T-R-Y or B-U-T. And even when I'm doing the interview, sometimes I might slip and say but. And the minute I say that, though, I'll go and. So I think the biggest lesson we can all learn is keep like learning our behaviors, learning what they are. And I love it when people give me feedback and say, hey, I wish you would say like less or don't use these words, right? And then it's my job to become aware of those habits and then go, okay, I just caught myself in that habit, and immediately making a correction and not beating ourselves up about it, because we're human. So we all come from stuff. So we can look at it from that point of view, that everybody has their stuff and they're doing the best that they can.
Of course, but you're unusual. You have to understand, Carly, you're enlightened. You're evolved. Most people can't do that. If someone tells them something about themselves that they don't want to hear, they probably get annoyed at that person instead of looking inside and go, oh, well, maybe there's some truth there. Maybe there's some truth there. And the next time they do it, they go, oh, a light bulb goes off. But most people, I think, or most people I know, just don't get it. And they don't realize, because I always feel that we're here. We made a deal when we first decided to come down to Earth, right? Or wherever we are. I guess we are on Earth, obviously. That we were going to learn a certain lesson. And the lesson, and we have to figure out what that lesson is, or we'll keep coming back and back and back and not really ever evolving. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes a lot of sense. So I can tell just by talking to you, and unfortunately we didn't get a chance to spend any time on set. However, I just can tell by just your energy and who you are that obviously you are someone that has spent some time working on yourself and that you do have this spiritual side to you.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, in terms of the movie that, you know, that we're both, you know, yes, I think they just finished filming the other day.
Oh, good.
The Secrets of the Keys. What was your inspiration for getting behind the movie to be in the movie?
I love Robin right away. My friend Michelle lives in Vegas, and she knew her, and she had gone to the first movie's premiere, and she told me to look it up and see. They're looking for experts, and, you know, am I an expert, really? It's funny. I have to put it in quotes, expert. So I called Robin. We had a terrific, you talk about energy, on the phone, and she said, I want you to be my key of empathy. So I said, Robin, you don't know me very well. I'm not a very empathetic person. I said, I'm more like, get over it already. You know, I've gone through stuff. You can go through stuff too. And she said, oh, we just have to find a key of empathy, which she did fine. So I'm the key of appreciation. I do think I have a story to tell. I loved the experience I can't tell you how much I love the experience being there. I didn't see you interviewing Brian Tracy because I was in makeup. I was next on. We didn't want to lose the light. But I just loved all the people. I knew that it would be a combination of spiritual and yet regular people. They wouldn't be like, they would be, they'd be easy to be with. And it was exactly that, 10 times that. And Robin was wonderful. I love the experience of just being in a movie and being able to be myself in the movie, because I figured it's not much acting. I'm being me, right? And so I did. And I was a little bit of the comic relief in the movie. We know each other. We do know each other. But anyway, I don't want to go into the story. People will see it. But it was an experience to go to Las Vegas, which I love. I love Vegas. But to show you how much I love the movie, I had a friend meeting me at Caesar's Palace, and I had to leave after my shoot. I would have skipped gambling. This is a big statement for me. I would have skipped gambling to stay and watch some of the other people do their part. It was wonderful. It was just absolutely like a family, an immediate like camp. I know I'm going on and on, but that's how I felt.
No, it's actually exactly what the set was supposed to feel like. And from my point of view, it's a group of people that are, and I love what you said too, so I'm going to tie into this. A lot of people are tired, and I think this is a big disconnect in our society right now, where we have spirituality and woo-ness, where, you know, people aren't in reality. And from my perspective, we're the physical beings having the physical experience. And it doesn't mean you cannot be spiritual or open-hearted or self-evolving. It just means that you also realize you're in this physical plane to learn your lessons and to be grounded. And so what I love about, I love Robin. I've known Robin for quite a long time now. And I actually interviewed her for a documentary I'm actually still working on, which is Paying It Forward, the Ripple Effect. And I like you. I connect with her right away. However, she got the principle that spiritual doesn't have to be like the woo-woo energy of I'm gonna just wish this and have it fall in my lap. She takes actionable steps to create something. So in her first movie, again, she didn't want to be talking heads and just, you know, and I don't want to name other movies. No. However, a lot of the self-development movies don't have a story or a character involvement. It's usually just, as you say, and you're gonna love this one. You said expert and you laughed when you said that. And so one of my pet peeves is people are always calling me guru, expert. And I'm like, you know what? There's always someone that knows more than I. So how could I be the expert in X, Y, and Z? I'm like, technology, new books, new information. I can look at it as we're all learning. We're all really good at certain things that we do. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think I'll ever be the guru or I'll ever be the expert. So when you said that, I laughed. And unfortunately, the society is so caught up in I will not hire someone I won't hire someone to speak, or I won't have them be moved unless they are the quote unquote expert. It becomes, you know, you get caught in that whole circle. So I love that you said that. And I love the fact that the movie isn't talking heads. It actually has a story, it has character, so that then wisdom is being given from a different place.
Absolutely. The movie is a story, and it's not, and you've got to forget that it's a lesson. Of course it's a lesson. And when you say woo-woo, it's true. It's not that tired old, I know better than you do. It's not pounding information to you. I hope it's as fun to watch, I'm sure it will be, as it was fun to do.
So obviously I know you do more than having written this book. So what is like your other passions and inspirations in your life?
I love to go to shows, Broadway shows. I moved into the city from my house on Long Island about a year and a half ago. I raised my family there, and now I'm here, and it's wonderful. I love to just go feel the energy of the city. I love to just be with my friends. I love to read. I'm writing. I just changed my website to a new one. I love speaking. I love doing that. The book was great, and I think it said a lot, but I just really enjoy going out there. And at first it was just to publicize the book, to get it going and to get it, have readers, of course. But now I just love that part of it. I love speaking. I see that I can be effective. I see that people leave workshops or a speech that I give, a talk that I do, even in a small group, large group, doesn't matter. They're happier. for that moment, they have a little bit more resilience. They feel bounce back. They feel like there's kind of light at the end of the tunnel. They're not going to be feeling the way they feel now always. And that's a wonderful feeling. So that's what I really like to do more of.
It's kind of like when you're working with people, you're speaking, you see that kind of like little spark or that light turn on. And that energy is contagious. And it's also, you walk away feeling so wonderful because you know you've impacted somebody on some level. And I think, right, I always tell people, and I think you can relate to this, is there's always someone somewhere in that very moment who needs to hear exactly what you had to say. I hear this all the time from people. Well, I don't have anything important to say, or I don't have something to write about. And I'm like, or my story is just too mundane, or it's already been written about. What people don't realize is that your energy is different than a male's energy, and a male's energy is different than female energy. Your point of view of humor is different than somebody else's. So there could be 100 right. books about the same subject. What people are drawn to is the face on the cover or the energy of what they see. So right. there is something for everybody. And it doesn't matter if it's the same story, because at the end of the day, our stories are not 100% identical, because we're not 100% identical people. We all have little nuances, and our experiences are unique to us. And it's going to touch someone on a level that you have no idea.
You're right. You're right. You know what's funny now, that I'm still writing and I'm still talking and changing what I say. And just yesterday someone said to me, and I wrote it down because I said, oh, this is great. And it's great for like a little article, a little mention. I've had a lot of losses in my life, not just my husband. And someone was talking about someone who had passed away, and she said to me, how did she put it? She said, well, I don't have to tell you. Like, you're the expert on death and grieving. Like, oh, God, that's a great little so-called spot to be in, right? I don't have to tell you. And I wrote that down. I thought that was a good little phrase. I don't have to tell you. It's true. When you've been through a lot of various grieving situations, you kind of become, I wouldn't say again an expert, but you basically are looked to as, well, I guess she knows her stuff. And that's what's great about doing these seminars, because they look to you and they know that you've been through it. It's not like you're just talking off the top of your head. My story, like you said, might be different than others, and yet I get it. I absolutely get it.
I think people forget, when you're looking to get advice or you're looking to learn, who do you want to learn from? Someone who hasn't been through something similar, or someone who has? I wouldn't go to a priest, a priest now can get married or children. However, back then, and actually there's some that they still can't. I wouldn't go to a priest for marriage advice or children advice if he's never had any of that. Right. So I think we do. We look to people. We look up to people. We empath with people that have been through, not identical, similar experiences.
Right, but on the other hand, a lot of widows, I know that a lot of them say, in a kind of an angry way, nobody gets it. Nobody gets it. And I always say to them, of course they don't get it. How could they possibly get it? They haven't experienced it. And if they're saying they understand when they don't, that's just something to say. So I think it's a tough spot to be in when you're the only widow on the block, so to speak. So that's why these groups are so helpful, because you are talking to people that have maybe nothing else in common but the fact that they're widows, or they've lost some other person that's important to them in their life.
So again, you said something really poignant, and that was, mm-hmm. like you said, they don't get it because they haven't experienced it. So, and what we as the people have to understand, from the person telling us, I understand, I'm so sorry, or whatever that is, we need to educate them. Meaning, like when I go for my surgeries, and I know I'm just like, where is she? How come she's not on Facebook? Whatever. It's like, I accept prayers. I accept you got it. You can do this. I do not accept, I am so sorry, blah, blah, blah. I don't want that energy around me. I don't want that victim energy around me. And so I think here's the thing people don't get, is when people are saying they're so sorry, it's because they don't know what else to say. They have no clue. They're so lost. They feel so bad. They have no idea what to say. And that's why I keep on going back to, we need to have conversations about death. I did a podcast on conscious death and dying, because I just looked at death very differently. And I'm not saying the other way, or grieving and having, think about the words we use around death: obituary, funeral home, or funeral parlor, death. Those aren't words to me that are some that I even want to be around. To me, celebration of life, I remember the times of the person that were joyful. I'm not saying they weren't bad times. I'm just saying those are things I choose to surround myself with. So I think of, or the net transitions, I use words that are very different, so they're not so dark and somber. And I educate people around me. Like, a lot of people know I've been through 31 surgeries and I grew up with all the problems.
31? Really? Yeah. What kind of surgeries?
And so I since 1985, I've had a bunch of different surgeries, and I just had my cataract surgery the other day. But the point is, none of that matters. The point is, I tell people that around me, I'm not a victim, I'm a victor, and I'm a very positive-minded person. I choose to, because if I wasn't this positive-minded person, I'd never have been gotten through those 31 surgeries.
Absolutely.
Right? It's part of us educating people around us. We tell people how we want to be treated. So if you don't want to hear saying, I'm so sorry, tell them. Yes, I'm yes, you know what? I'd rather hear no, I'm sorry.
Then yes, I know.
If you need me, I'm here for you. If you want to talk, I'm here for you. That's all you need to say. You don't need to say, I understand. You don't need to say, oh, I'm so sorry. Just let the person know that you're there for them.
Absolutely.
If they need to talk, hey, pick up the phone and call me. I'm totally here for you.
Well, when I don't know what to say, you know what I say? I say, I don't know what to say. And then people kind of go, well, really, what there is there to say? You give maybe something physical, you hug the person, you give, you know, you just, you do something for them. Maybe something, you know, you bring them lunch, you call them more often. You just, how you doing? I had so many people call me after my husband died. I actually didn't answer the phone, just like now, if you heard the ring. Just like now. I don't think they're calling anymore for that, though, right? Because it's been 9 years. No, I think that's done. Yeah. But that's why I realize that the poor in front of the widow me works, because it's not that. It's not poor widow me. It's to be the opposite of that. And to look at the things in the, if you open up the newspaper, God forbid, I mean, tragedy upon tragedy. I used to turn on the TV and hope for a tsunami, because I go, well, at least I got a village. I lost one little husband, but there's so many people have so many awful things happen. I mean, really, you got to put life in perspective. So to be, and it's so turn-offy to be a victim. It's so, I don't like to hear that. That's why I couldn't be the key of empathy. It all fits in, see?
And I love your tagline. It says, moments of feeling and dealing and finding the funny along the way. That's such an important line.
Yes.
And so, you know, people see that your book isn't about for me. It's like, what was my journey? What were the funny moments along the way? Did I find humor in the situations? So I love how you came from that place. I really do. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. That's really the only place I could come from. I'm kind of wired to be funny. I'm lucky. I'm lucky, lucky, lucky that I can see that. And then when I tell people who've had similar experiences, they say, oh my God, I never looked at it that way. It's so refreshing to hear, because like you said, you're changing. You know, you don't know who you're changing. They don't always verbalize, but sometimes you know, they do. And you say, I really needed to laugh. I'm so glad I took your workshop. And I go, wow, look at that. I am effective. It's amazing. It's a wonderful feeling. Wonderful feeling.
Yes. So I would love for you to share with the audience where they can find you. And don't just say it, because this is a podcast and a video. So some people are not looking at the video where they can see your lower third. So if you could share your website and spell it out so people that are listening can know where to find you.
All right, that would be great. My new website will be up in about 2 weeks, but the content is there. It's www, of course, poorwidowme.com. So it's POOR widow, WIDOW, me.com, or carolschibelli.com, carolschibelli.com. Isn't it interesting? I couldn't spell poor widow me. I had a little trouble with that, so I went right to my name. That I could spell. Okay.
I've done it myself. We're spelling out stuff and we get lost in the moment and we're like, what? Did I miss a letter? Huh?
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us at any given.
Thank you. Bless you. Very nice of you. Very kind of you. Thank you.
I'd also like to put a little, just the Keys movie. So if people would like to find out more about that, is the THE and then KEY movies, WOVIES.com, that has Robin Jay, who is the producer and writer, has both her movies. And I encourage everyone to go there and check it out. As all my people know, if you will, I put together a blog post that has the embedded podcast, has the embedded video, has all of Carol's information, my information, the movies information, and you can find out everything there. Thank you so much, Carol, for spending time with me. It has been greatly appreciated. And I wish everyone a wonderful day, and I love bringing you guys valuable content. So always feel free to email me things you want to hear about at carlyathorn@gmail.com or carly@carlylissathorn.com. You can find me at carlyalyssathorne.com. So thank you so much, Carol.
Oh, thank you. The time just flew. Thank you.
Is there any last little tidbits you'd like to leave?
I guess to say to people, be kind to yourself, but not too kind to yourself. Be kind to other people as well. And kindness, I think, is very, very important. And remember the good times and look forward to the future. As long as we're still alive, we have a future. And that's more important than dwelling on the past, unless you have a good feelings about the past. That was kind of awkward. Okay.
That was perfect. Have a great day, everyone.